The global economy is slowing. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. We're getting some GDP-related numbers out this morning from around the world. China's economic growth slowed down to 6.6% last year. Yes, that's slow for China. The IMF this morning said it's lowered its forecast for global economic growth in 2019 from 3.7% down to 3.5%. It had already downgraded its predictions back in October, saying tariffs would drag down the global economy. This time, it's further lowering expectations because of slowing economies in Europe, specifically Germany and Italy. Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are there any other downside risks on the horizon besides slowing in Europe?
Yes, I mean, China's obviously central to this, and probably the slowing in Europe is tied somewhat to the slowing in China. China was marked down, and even with the lower numbers, we still suspect that both the official Chinese data and the estimates that the IMF are using are probably overstating the actual reality on the ground.
Right, because they didn't reduce their forecast for 2019 for China or the U.S. for that matter.
That's right. They were already projected to slow. The overall picture is one of reduced revenue opportunities, reduced growth opportunities. And so that's what had made markets nervous at the end of last year. We've sort of seen a bounce back in sentiment, but this is a reminder that that fundamental backdrop is still towards slower growth.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, thanks so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
The fortunes of all the world's billionaires grew last year. The wealth of the poorest half of the world's population declined. This is according to Oxfam, the anti-poverty NGO, in a new report. The release comes as the world's economic elite kick off their annual World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Global stock markets crashed late last year. So, how was 2018 for the world's super rich?
The fortunes of billionaires increased by 12%.
Paul O'Brien at Oxfam says the rich have gotten richer in part from tax cuts on high earners and corporations.
The poorest half of humanity saw their wealth decline by 11%. So we're seeing a new billionaire every 2 days, and yet they're paying lower tax rates than they have in decades.
Oxfam reports top individual tax rates in wealthy countries have fallen nearly 25% since 1970. David Schick at Consumer Edge Research says when the super rich get a windfall, they do tend to spend more on
jewelry, art, or travel, cars. You're talking about the ability to choose most anything.
Spending on such high-end goods does benefit a few companies catering to the luxury market, but it doesn't boost the overall economy very much. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Some people kick off the new year with a detox period. No sugar, maybe, or cutting out alcohol. Dry January, dryuary is a thing. Some people in the United Kingdom are cutting out much more in another trend, and many big brands are trying to capitalize on it, as the BBC's Victoria Craig reports.
Veganuary is the latest hashtag to flood your Instagram feed. Brands from multi-billion dollar fast food giants to local pubs are cashing in on the craze. Pizza Hut even has a website dedicated to its vegan range in an effort to lure resolution makers.
My name is Jens Hofmeyer. I'm the CEO of Pizza Hut Restaurants in the UK. We started this journey about 2 years ago. The star pizza at the moment is our jackfruit pizza.
The vegan pie tops tomato sauce with the jackfruit, which has a savory pulled pork consistency. And then it piles on vegan cheese, sweet corn, onions, peppers, and barbecue sauce. But incorporating meat-free options hasn't been a quick pivot.
I can't tell you that, you know, launching a vegan range change is a big moneymaker for us, and it's actually not the primary objective of doing it. If I just look at the whole development of a vegan menu, I would say that's well over £100,000, £200,000.
More options, endless temptations, but are customers buying it? We won't see sales figures until first quarter financial results are published in March, but if changes to menus are any indication, some customers are jumping on the bandwagon. McDonald's unveiled vegan and vegetarian options, coffee chain Costa added two new milk choices, and grocery store chains have heavily promoted their all-vegan ready meals. British bakery chain Greggs introduced a vegan sausage roll this month, and it's had trouble keeping the pastry stocked. That's despite controversy over whether sausage can ever be vegan, and not everyone on the streets of London is on board with the idea of committing to short-term veganism.
I think it's a bit pointless to only stop for 1 month because you haven't really changed your lifestyle then.
I'm not fond of it because I'm highly fond of meat and chicken and protein as well as eggs and milk.
So is the high cost and commitment for these brands worth it? And how likely are customers to stick to their January resolutions? I put those questions to Richard DeVisser, a professor at the University of Sussex's School of Psychology. He's studied the health impacts of resolution trends.
If you think about dry January, 50% of them go back to drinking at pretty much the same levels. Where we find the change that happens, and this is just on 40% of people, are actually drinking less. And you'd expect to see similar things happening in Veganuary.
Back at Pizza Hut, the company's CEO says plans are in the works to incorporate veggie-focused pies onto the permanent menu in March. So whether you're seeking a temporary fix or long-lasting dietary change, there are plenty of options for those committed to making their vegan resolutions stick. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.